Thanks, John. Thank you, Ben. Hope you're able to use your imagination as that was played. See those beams of light. I couldn't help but think the first time we looked through that of sitting on a beach and seeing the light coming through first thing in the morning, and actually the spiritual element that came to me was just how much we can shine as the light of Jesus in the world that we live in. First light. Really lovely. Now, we've been able to have Chris and Verena back in the band in the last year or so, which has been brilliant. And me, and actually, with Verena as well, but me and Chris go back some way now, don't we, Chris? That's the sad thing, it's catching up, isn't it? I remember being very young at Ipswich Citadel when Chris came into the core as a student. And Chris was one of those guys that I looked up to. He was cool, he was fashionable, he was funky. That was a word back then. It's still a word. It's not cool, though. And Chris came into the core and brought a real breath of life into what we were doing at that time as well. And it dawned on me last week that we actually haven't had that opportunity to hear Chris share more of his story with us. So I asked him if he would come and do that this evening, because there's been some great things going on in his life in recent months and years. So Chris, come and share with us. Do you want to encourage Chris? Welcome him. Thanks.
Well, what a build-up. And look how well he's done in spite of all of that as well. And now I look up to you, Simon. You see, now we're a bit older. But no, Simon asked me if I would come and just share a few words with you. And I was thinking about tonight's sort of theme of being about conviction, and how to kind of think about how that might fit into the way sort of I live my life, or how God is working with me in my life, and how I'm desperately trying to stick as a kind of ambassador for Christ in the real world as we go through. I think it reminded me when it was a real privilege to be able to lead an open air a couple of weeks ago. And for me, I just think that's quite a thing, that we're able to go out and show our love for God in the world, and really thinking about the message that we wanted to portray and to share that with people. You know, luckily, I've kind of got my granddad Ozan's voice. You know, he always reminded me, he was a major in the Salvation Army in the days before microphones and all this stuff, and you had to project your voice. And whether that's genetic or God's gift, I always seem to have that voice to travel. So I was grateful for that opportunity to do an open air. But thinking about conviction, I don't know, there's a few of us here that have been taking this idea of getting fit. That idea of, you know, taking up the, I don't know whether some of you have heard about it, the couch to 5K. The idea is that you can start by walking and doing a little run, and over a period of a number of weeks, you'll go from just walking quite a lot to actually starting to jog. And I know Neil has just completed his 5K, from doing nothing to running a 5K. And there's also a thing called park runs. I don't know whether you've heard about this. It's a new thing. Jonah and I, as part of our little mission, we thought, well, our conviction to try and get a little bit fitter and maybe just to do something together as well that's maybe doing something different, is to try and take up the 5K park run, which was without the walking. It's kind of just there and lots of different people go along. Now, I don't know whether you can tell under this uniform, but I don't have the physique of a runner. I'm not like Pete Andrews or Sabrina or Trevor. You know, I don't have that body that's a natural runner. So for me, that idea of getting up and starting to do a 5K run took a lot. You know, it means you've got to really commit to it and really go for it. And I'm pleased to say that we did 38 minutes on our first run, didn't we, Joe, five runs ago. This week, we managed to get to 34 minutes, so we've shaved 4 minutes off. But what I looked at that, and as we were running around, I realised that there's those people. One of them, my sixth form student, did it in 16 minutes, and he was absolutely hammering it around. And then there's us, sort of in the middle, running along. But actually, I was really mindful that park run is a success because they have so many volunteers, so many people positioned throughout that whole race of people just cheering you on, to encourage you, to give you a high five, to say they know where to stand, because there's that point, say, don't give up, you're doing so well, come on, keep going, just try and make the next one. And, you know, we go with our conviction to get fit and run, but there's those moments when you're doing it, usually within about 100 metres, we're thinking, why are we doing this, you know, why am I running? But there's people along that way to encourage you. And what really, really got me as well was the fact that there's people at the back just walking along, so that whoever's taking part, no matter what stage of fitness you're at, nobody's going to be last because there's somebody there encouraging you right at the very back. And they will make sure that they get you over that line before they get to that line. So whether you're walking or just trying to walk quickly, they're there supporting you. And I just, that for me, that conviction, really just the conviction to try and do something, it's all right having the conviction, but it's like you're going to get discouraged along the way. There's going to be those things that hit you. And without those markers along the way to point you in the right direction, it's really hard. But progress can be made if there's those people along the way to kind of drive you forward. So within my own personal life, you know, I gave my testimony 6 years ago when I stood in this uniform up there to say I was becoming a senior soldier again, and the fact that I'd just been made redundant, I was going to do something vastly different with my career. Well, I'm almost at the seven-year stage, and what I realised was that this week I got through the whole teacher training, initial kind of a selection point of view, really well. And it all went really well, and they've confirmed that I've got my 12 weeks assessment period starting now. Well, actually, it was meant to start in January, but the school I've recently joined said, no, we'll phone them up. Let's see if we can get this through quicker for you, Chris. Let's see what we can do. And they've got it through that I can start on Monday, my 12 weeks. I don't have to wait till January. And then the school said, Chris, because you're giving so much to what the students are doing and we like what you're doing and what you brought to the school, we're going to start you as a newly qualified teacher from January. It doesn't matter that you haven't finished your course. We just want to treat you like that way as well. And then they said, because of all that work you did at Felixstowe Academy, because of you put yourself in at the deep end for the last 3 years, learning how to teach on the job, they said, do you know what? We're going to honour that, and we're going to start you as a teacher from September, not having to do the whole year, because we want to recognise all that stuff you did at your last school. And do you know what? I think my prayer has always been, am I on the right track? You know, to God I'm saying, I've changed my career, I've put my family through financial turmoil because we said, look, we're going to take a 50% cut in money for this next few years, bear with me. 7 years down the line, Verena, we're still doing all right. God's looked after us. God has made sure that we've coped with 50% less income, and we've always had a meal, haven't we? I've made an apple crumble tonight. We've had enough money to do that. God has blessed us in this change of direction. And I felt that I was being called to be a teacher. That was the direction I was going. But I didn't know how to do it. But God has placed different markers along that way to stop me from being discouraged. All those moments when I didn't have a head of department and we just had to carry on. And you sit there on a night thinking, I don't know what to do. But somehow God's been in with my classroom. It's been with the colleagues I've had. You know, God has been in every step of the way. And I just wonder, I don't know what's coming up next. But I just feel where I am now, God is there trying to direct me in the next stage of my career and the difference that I might be able to make as I go through. And although I'm waffling, and I apologise, I did make notes. But one of the key things is somebody said to me the other day at my new place, what's going to make you get cross? And I thought, what do you mean what's going to make me get cross? He said, well, why is it that you just seem to be able to cope and just not really get negative about stuff? And it's kind of my faith. I think that's fundamentally, you have to be careful how you say it in the workplace, but, you know, it's kind of actually, it's my, you know, I just believe things will be looked after. Things will be worked out. You can't leave things to chance, obviously. But there's always that element of, rather than what's making me not get cross, actually what's keeping me fairly level-headed and calm in while everything else is going on around you. And I think that's about that faith in God and knowing that God is with us. And for me personally, thank you for the opportunity for sharing that again. You know, I just feel that just like the running, there's these people and things that along the way that mark to help you to stay on track, to stay and just knowing that God is with you. And I just want to share a Bible reading with you. My granddad, up in heaven now, I was given his Amplified Bible when he died. He was a major, and he's written in every single page in this book, little snippets. And one of the things he's done is I wanted to share this reading and sort of talking it through with Verena. She sort of guided me to this point. And actually, even my granddad, I think, was guiding it. Because he said he's marked this one and he's put the words God's glory next to it. And it says, and it's from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and their power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. And I think, although I feel that on a Saturday when I'm doing my park run, I have to say, even just spiritually and how we move through life, that's something to take away there.
Heavenly Father, it's easy to sing that I'll stand for Christ alone. But we're glad that when we do have to, that you're there for us. And we also say in that song that we will stand for you alone. Nothing else will take the place of you. Tonight we have given back in our offering just a little of the gift that you have given to us to live on. Pray that you will receive our gifts, and again ask that here at Felixstowe it will be used wisely for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I don't often say this on a Sunday night, but tea and coffee will be served in the community hall following our worship. Again, and you see on your bulletin, and I'm sure everyone has one, the events that are coming up during this week. A reminder again, on Thursday at 2 o'clock, it's that time of the month for Noah's Ark. And if you know of anyone in your vicinity where you live has a small child, then why not invite them to come along to Noah's Ark on Thursday. On Saturday, there's a coffee morning, and this coffee morning is raising money for the Headway Brain Injury Association, and it's got lots of things going on, hot food, it's got children's book sale, Christmas crafts and gifts for all ages. So something for everybody there, so come along and support this worthy cause between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock on Saturday. Next Sunday, we have leading our worship Major Martin and Michelle Wheeler. And I think the members of the band who were in the fellowship band met them last night and heard really good reports of the talk that he gave. So look forward to him. He's going to lead us in the morning in our remembrance worship. And he also will be here in the evening again to conduct that meeting. Shoebox appeal. If you haven't got your shoebox yet, then there are some in the foyer and they're 50 pence each. All you have to do is fill them according to the list that you'll be given and bring them back on Sunday morning, the 18th of November. In case you're not aware, because you weren't here this morning, the absence of our commanded officers is that they're in the Scottish Congress in Edinburgh, and by all means that I'm reading, they're enjoying themselves fully there, and just hope that indeed the Lord will be with them, and they'll come back full of energy, ready to lead us forward. So that's where they are, and my thanks to this morning to Neil and to John, and a night for Simon, who has organised this program for us. Just a reminder that I said this morning that we have a Poundland box, and it's straight ahead of me by the notice board. It's a big, tall box, and it's there because we need some help with the big collection for next year, and we're going to do various things through the year to help us, because it was very difficult this year to get collectors and to reach our target. So a little bit of a help. So we're just asking that on a Sunday, if you bring an extra pound in your collection and then put it in the Poundland box, and it's a lovely sound when you drop it through that little hole and it, boom, it lands. It's great. It would be marvellous if when you put it in, it didn't land because it was so full that you couldn't get your pound in. But I pray that that will happen. But all that money will go towards helping us on the big collection. So thank you very much for listening.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the quietness of your house. We thank you for this time of celebration. And we thank you now for this time of reflection. Help us to keep our minds open and our hearts open to hear from you and to be encouraged by you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, I'm really pleased to be here tonight. I wasn't expecting about a year ago to actually be invited to stand up here and speak. So not knowing that, I decided to stay with you, and here I am. We are so grateful, Gillian and I, for the welcome you gave us. We've heard so much tonight about encouragement, and I really want to continue in that theme, but to be realistic, I know life isn't always quite like that. That sometimes we're not encouraged, and it takes a little bit more energy to become encouraged and get back on track. Sometimes it's possible for us to be not so convinced about our faith. That conviction is the thing that we search for. So that's what we need. We need a faith that has conviction. You might be rejoicing this week. You might be naturally rejoicing. Perhaps you have had a good week, and celebration is what you want to do, to give to God your thanks. But you might be feeling fragile. You might need some support. You might need to feel deeply the very presence of God Himself. You might feel that your spiritual life has fallen a bit, and yet you long to be closer to God. You might need building up spiritually. You might be in need of something that's called inspiration. At these times, we need a spiritual boost. And I just want to tell you about someone who wrote in the Bible many years ago. Now, he was a follower of Christ. He was one of his first disciples. He wrote the last book in our Bible. And he wrote it, his name's John, by the way, he wrote it whilst he was on the island of Patmos. Now, why was he there? He was there because he'd been banished there. He'd been banished there away from all of the other people who he was having an influence on. It was better that the Roman occupation put him there to keep him quiet. But he didn't keep quiet. Not really, because he was called upon by God to write a book of encouragement to the churches that were having a pretty tough time during those years. John wrote his book called Revelation. And I just think when John wrote his book of Revelation, he must have been suffering under the regime that he lived with. He must have been wondering what was going on. He must have been wondering what was going on in the church. And he must have been wondering what was going on in his life. And at that moment, God touched him. It's interesting that if we read the scripture, I'm going to read it in a moment, it actually starts by saying it was on the first day of the week. Interesting. We meet together on the first day of the week, but he couldn't. He was by himself in exile. But what it did say is that he was also in the Spirit. And I've noticed since I've been here that something this church has constantly prayed for, that it will be touched, filled, moved, and encouraged by the Spirit of God Almighty, His Holy Spirit. And it's when we enter that spiritual understanding that we can be blessed. In fact, the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that starts off by saying, "Blessed is the person who reads the words of this book. I'd like to read that to you now. It's a special blessing because it takes us away from this world. Our first song tonight, a glorious song, reminding us at the end of everything, there's a room in heaven for us. We don't know what heaven looks like, but John was given a vision. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned round, I saw two golden lampstands, and among the golden lampstands was one like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth with a sharp, double-edged sword, his face was shining like the sun in its brilliance. And I saw heaven opened, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. I do wonder why a king needs many crowns, because in all honesty, I think if a king's got one crown, he is a king. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. Just briefly, I want to tell you about someone who was born less than 50 miles from here. I'll tell you his name. I don't think you'll know him because he was born in the 1800s. His name is Matthew Bridges, and he was a hymn writer, and he lived, or at least he was born to start with anyhow, in Maldon in Essex. And he took this particular piece of scripture and he wrote a hymn. I wonder if anybody could guess what the hymn was. It was one that we've sung for 200 years, not you personally, but it has been sung for 200 years. Crown him with many crowns. And I thought, well, what is this all about, this many crowns? Why should there be many crowns? And the hymn tells me, he's crowned with many crowns, because he's crowned the Lord of life, he's crowned the Lord of peace, he's crowned the Lord of love. And that set me thinking further. Not only is he described as that king needing many crowns, but he's described as the Lamb. What a contrast. He's described as the Lamb and as the King. King of kings, but the Lamb that we go to seek forgiveness. King of kings, if he's got a kingdom, he has in heaven, But it's our job to build his kingdom on earth. Can you give Christ a crown? Can you give him a crown today, this week? One person says, yes, I have. I must crown him because he's seen me through recent trouble. Another says, yes, I must crown him because he has kept my spirits up when I was in despair. Another says, I must crown him because he brings me comfort. And another says, Lord of mercy, Lamb of God, I come to you because I've failed you again. And once more, he is crowned. Our band is going to continue our thoughts as they play a piece called Conviction. Now it's your turn to reflect, because on the screen will be the first hymn that I've talked about and two further ones to follow. The music is arranged in three parts. Section one is about praising and worshipping God, and this is part of the special ministry that our band has. Crown Him with Many Crowns is what they'll play. Section two is acknowledging what God has already done for us as individuals and that He loves us so much. The Saviour sought and found me. And section three has a marching style. It gives the picture of the band marching out, perhaps on a Sunday morning, and we need to march with them, because it's there in the community that we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May God bless you this week as you crown him many times.